Chapter 5, Stanford.
I wanted to ask you how you ended up at Stanford.
When I was getting out of Syracuse, I was becoming pretty fired up about news and journalism. And I also wanted to come to the West Coast. I had been suckered in by all the Hollywood propaganda and the movies, and I wanted to go to L.A. And searching around for schools on the coast, there was no school in Los Angeles then offering a graduate degree in journalism. The only California school that was Stanford. So I thought, well, it's a short haul from San Francisco to L.A. I'll put in the time there and then go south. Well, I came to Stanford and fell in love with Northern California and had a great time. And my ideas about journalism, I was still thinking at the time I came out to do graduate work that I was going to end up with Herb Barrett in his public relations firm. But I became straighter and straighter about news as an objective. And when I got out of Stanford, I wanted to go right into it and did.
So go back a little bit. You're at Stanford. There were things that happened to you there.
You bet. I met your mother. She was working at a publishing setup. There was a proofreader. And we met at a lecture. It was a small lecture room. This was an evening lecture. It was not a course. And I spotted your mother and Beverly Weinstein, who was her friend, and thought, I'd like to meet that woman. So I devised the old corniest trick in the world, went up to Beverly and said, "You look awfully familiar. Don't I know you from somewhere?" And this is a true story. We started backtracking, and yeah, we had been in Morris High School in the Bronx at the same time. I didn't remember her at all.
Did you pretend that you did remember her?
Oh, yeah. That was it. And then I got to meet Joanna.
Did you ever tell her the truth? That you?
Yeah. I got to meet Joanna, and that night, I was still really broke. I was driving around in that wonderful new Pontiac, but couldn't afford to put gas in the tank. Really, really broke. And I invited them to come to dinner. Dinner for a Stanford student was one of the joints down the highway, Dinah's Shack, and there were several of them down there. Dinah's had a poor boy hamburger. I think it cost $2. And it was a big piece of sourdough bread with a good slab of meat in it and all the trimmings. I ordered one and cut it into four parts, and that was our dinner.
Was she attending school or just working there at that
time? She was working one of the publishing arms of Stanford as a proofreader. The building was adjacent to mine. And she knew I was broke, and we'd see one another out in the courtyard at lunchtime, and she got to taking a sandwich for me. And that's how our romance began. She brought me lunch, and we started doing things together.
Where was she living at the time?
She was living with your grandmother. Joanna Jr. was living there as well.
How old was she then?
7, 8. When I moved to Stanford, I took a converted garage that had been set up as living quarters out behind what was to become the Stanford Research Institute. And because we were actually living, your mother and I, within walking distance of each other. So we got to see one another a lot. After a while, I had a roommate Gary Lewis, who was another trumpet player.
I wanted to ask some questions about Joanna. How did she end up there at Stanford?
Well, Joanna had been married to some guy named York.
Skipper York.
Skipper York. And that was one of the... She had been a student at Stanford. They had met, and he was money and a playboy, and they were kids. And it didn't really work out, and I think it didn't really last any more than about a year. And she came out to Reno to get a divorce from Skipper. And there she met Durwood, Dave Curtis, who was a ranch hand, a cowpoke. And they had a torrid love affair, ended up in there getting married. He was a draft dodger. He ended up taking her to somewhere in Idaho, where they pitched a tent and went through a cold winter in Idaho. He hunted for meat, and that's what they ate. They scrounged vegetables. I don't know how they made it.
And Joanna was already Joanna there?
Joanna was born there. I'm not sure whether she was born in Nevada or born in Idaho. My guess it was Nevada, but she was taken there as an infant.
Wow.
And that whole scene finally blew up when Mabel came out to Reno and said, this is preposterous. And I think Joanna had a belly full by that time. And so Mabel moved Joanna, and we called her Jay, to Menlo Park, which is where I met them at Stanford. I was living not very far from there.
And that's when she got the job at Stanford.
She got a job at the Stanford Research Institute shortly, I don't even know, maybe 6-8 months later. And that was right across the street from where they were living. And so we were all located very centrally.
It seems like there was like a hiatus in your relationship with her.
Well, when I went to Stockton, distance played a role, and my whole scene had changed drastically. The relationship between us just kind of drifted and cooled.
How did you get the job at the Stockton Record?
The job at the Stockton Record came about when I graduated from Stanford's journalism department with a master's degree. Chick Bush, who was the dean of the journalism department, terrific guy with wonderful contacts in the journalism field all over the country. He was the walking employment agency. He got nothing out of it other than the satisfaction of placing what he thought were good students in a proper place. And Chick had three offers for me. I went on interviews on all three. One was with a television station in Eureka. One was with the United Press in Portland. And the third was the Stockton Record. As it turned out, I could have taken any one of the three positions. I was offered all three jobs. However, the Portland job and the Eureka job weren't going to begin for 2 or 3 weeks. And I was flat broke. The Stockton Record said you can come to work on Monday. That's how I went to Stockton.
This concludes Chapter 5.